wonder, could we read, please, some verses from the first chapter of John's Gospel, John chapter number 1. I wasn't going to go to John number 1, but I realised when sat there that this was actually the first time that I'd taken the Gospel at Whitburn. And as is my custom, I suppose, it's good to introduce yourself to a place when you go there first off in the Gospel. So I thought, well, perhaps it would be better if I gave my testimony tonight and those credentials that I have for being able to tell you and to commend to you the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to be you a Saviour. So we'll just read some verses from John chapter 1, please, reading from verse number 12. But as many as received the Lord Jesus, to them gave God power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And we trust that God will bless that reading from his good word to us. Now, I hope you're not expecting a great, big, dramatic testimony, because mine isn't. I was not saved out of the gutter of sin. I was not dragged out of the pub to the assembly to be saved. I was not down on drugs or drink. That's not my kind of testimony. But nevertheless, in itself, it is no less a miracle, really. For every testimony of one who has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour is a work of God done in somebody's life. And that's just simply my story. I wasn't out there in the world when I was saved, really. I was born into a Christian home, literally. My parents were both saved folk. They were in the meeting. My grandparents on my father's side, they were in the assembly as well. And so I wasn't exposed to that world out there as some people who give testimonies have been. Mine was a routine kind of Christian background, really. But though it isn't dramatic in that sense, there lay dangers in that environment for me. Because it's all together easy to fall into the trap of thinking that because I'm born to Christian parents and I can relate to grandparents who are on their way to heaven, well, it naturally follows that I must be a Christian too. And so there's a danger with being brought up in a Christian home. It's a comfort zone. You're kind of sheltered from the dangers of the world out there. And it's just altogether possible that you get into a sense of security that really doesn't exist, because I needed a saviour as much as the man in the street did. You see, salvation is not inherited. It's not passed down through the generations. We read of it in John chapter 1. Those who can claim the title as being children of God are not that because they have been born of blood. It's not passed down the bloodline. It's not passed down the ancestral family line is Christianity. Nor those who are the children of God. They don't inherit that. God has no grandsons and no granddaughters. God only has children who are in themselves individual acts of salvation, individually saved. And there's just the danger, don't minimize the danger, please. There's just the danger that being born into a Christian home, you might fall into a sense of security that really is perilous. Well, that's where I was born. Born to a miner and a shop worker in the village of Derry. Literally born in the house that I now live next door to. So I haven't gone very far in life. I won't tell you how far back, you can do the maths yourself after perhaps. But that's where I was born. I was the baby of the family. Well, the youngest of two anyway. My sister was 10 and a half years older than me, she'll be careful to say. Really, it's closer to 11. But But she was 10 and a half years older than me, and then when I came along. And possibly, I don't know if it's true or not, I maybe have been doted upon. That is maybe. But there I was born, and there I was, the son and heir to the family and the estate, and I was really found in a privileged place. It was a privileged place, and I wouldn't wish to diminish. Though I've spoken about the dangers of being born into a Christian family, I wouldn't wish to diminish the privilege which it is to be born to Christian parents. Because I had given to me, really, a treasure that the child down the street didn't have. Because I had given to me a knowledge of the Word of God from day one, really. Upon my grandfather's knee, the stories of David and Goliath and all these tremendous incidents from the Word of God, I was well acquainted with them. I would be taken to the meetings, and whilst at that time perhaps I didn't think it was a great privilege, I look back upon it and I thank God for that. 3 times on the Lord's Day, there I was, dragged down to the gospel hall. Maybe not dragged always, but perhaps there was a deal of resentment betimes. I'd rather be on the football field. I'd rather be out with the boys. And here I was in a gospel meeting. Didn't really appreciate it much at the time. But looking back upon it, it was the grace of God that was being shown toward me, really. Because there I grew to understand things about God that my fellows in the school class perhaps weren't just aware of. And I had a knowledge given me from earliest days that brought me to understand that really I needed to take dealings with God's Son, else I was going to miss out on heaven. I was brought to understand that though I be born into a Christian family, I was really born sinful in my nature. And I was really not born into God's family at all, naturally. But that I was at a distance from God, separated from God by my sin. I was given to understand that from the earliest days of Sunday school and singing of choruses. I was made to understand my sin had separated between me and God. That's how it is with everybody who has ever taken breath into their lungs, save the Lord Jesus Christ. We all are in our natural condition at a distance from God. God can't enjoy fellowship with the likes of us in our sin. God is holy. And I was made to understand that God could never allow into heaven someone who harbours unforgiven sin. And I knew full well that I was in that crowd. As young as I was, I knew full well I wasn't going to heaven. Oh, I might have just brushed it off, you know, and well, tomorrow I'll be out on the football field and it's another 6 days before I'll have to be in a gospel meeting, and I'm kind of going on like that, you know, just suffering it, being there perhaps, just going through the motions, not kicking up a fuss, just to please Mum and Dad, but deep down, I understood I didn't have what they had. I was not saved. You know, it came to a point where that began to trouble me, really. And it troubled me to the point of which, of a night time when I'd be laying in my bed, well, sleep wouldn't come just as quickly as it might on other nights. And I knew full well why it hadn't come just as quickly. I was very disturbed about this matter of sin and the fact that I could not get into heaven without having my sin forgiven. And I knew full well that really there was only a limited opportunity for me to be saved, because one day the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come back and was going to take his own to be with him in heaven. I knew full well my parents would be gone. I knew full well Grandpa wouldn't be in the house. I knew full well that I'd be left behind. Terrible thing to be the one in the family left behind. Terrible thing to miss out on heaven for eternity, please. That's how serious the matter is. Miss it once, miss it eternally. And I knew full well, if the Lord Jesus had come back then, I'd be lost. You know, I toss and turn, couldn't sleep at night, and And then I'd call out to Mum and Dad next door, "Good night, Mum. Good night, Dad." Just to have them answer. And just to give me the comfort of knowing the Lord hasn't come yet. Couldn't have. They're still in bed next door. Couldn't have come. And with that foolish sense of security, I might fall asleep. What if the Lord had come in the night? I'd be up in the morning. My sister would be there. And I'd be there with her. And there'd be nobody else in the house. Say, what a terrible way to step into a new day. Knowing full well what had to be done to be saved. Confess my sins. That's all I had to do, really. And plead the forgiveness that God is ready to offer to all. I knew I just had to do that. And I hadn't done it. I had put it off. And, oh, well, that's for older folks. You know, it's not for us young kids. And I knew full well if the Lord Jesus came back, I'd miss out. And foolishly, I'd call out of a night, "Good night," just to have their voice come back in the dark and then think that I was spared for another evening. Really playing fast and loose with God at that point in time, gambling with my never dying soul for eternity. Mm-hmm. Could have been that night. Well, it went on like that for quite a number of years, really, I suppose, and until one evening, my parents were up in the prayer meeting. And as was my sister's unfortunate task, she was looking after me as best she could, I suppose. And we waited, and we knew full well just about what time Mum and Dad would be coming home. About 8 o'clock, the meeting would finish. About 8:15, they'd come back through the door. And all would be well again. I used to wonder, what if the Lord came when they were done in the prayer meeting? And I knew full well that my sister and myself would be left to an awful scene of judgment that would befall this world. And we'd have no guardians. And we'd be left alone, orphaned, really, because we hadn't been saved. And my parents had gone home. And we'd be left to the wickedness of this world and the judgment of God. And it used to disturb me no end. Well, that prayer meeting evening, come 8:15, no sign of Mum and Dad. Oh, well, they must just be chatting amongst themselves, you know. Somebody's got news and there's a story to be heard and they'll be home a bit later now. And, well, 8:15 became 8:30. Oh, well, there must be some matter that the brethren have had to discuss down the hall, you know, and they've been delayed. 8:30 became 8:45. And it became 9:00. And my young mind began to add 2 and 2 together. The Lord has come. When we've been left at home, the Lord has come. When my parents were in the prayer meeting, and we're left to it all now. And heaven is shut to us, and we'll never be saved. Do you know, I lay upon that green PVC settee, I rolled and turned my face into the back of it, and I broke my heart. Absolutely broke my heart. My sister, well, she knew the gospel as well as I did, but she couldn't get out of me what the problem was, because I was so absolutely inconsolable. I had played the fool with God, thinking there was life to be lived first before I go in for this religion or Christianity business, and I'll get saved at the 11th hour and I'll just get in the nick of time. And I'd been foolish with God, thinking I'd have a bit of the world first and then I'd have the best of God for eternity. Please, don't play fast and loose with God like that, for God will not be fooled with. And you could just be snatched away from the opportunity in a moment of time and into a lost eternity. And I rolled into the back of that settee and just absolutely broke my heart. Say, what if he comes tonight? What if he comes before 7:10? Going to be left in this hall? You're going to be the only one left upon the seat. Because you haven't told God what he already knows about you, that you're a sinner. And you haven't asked God to forgive you your sin. And you haven't asked God to take his pen and to write your name in that register of heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. If the Lord Jesus were to come before our meeting closes, will you be the one turning the lights off? Will you be the one who misses out? I thought I had. And it absolutely broke my heart. 9 o'clock became 10 o'clock. No sign of them. Absolutely convinced now I'd missed out. Then about 10:15, I thought I heard the outside door go in. And then, right enough, I thought I heard the inner porch door go in. And then my mother stepped into the living room. They'd been back to somebody's house for tea, after the prayer meeting, if you please. But God told me, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Many days I'd let slip by, saying, it's not my day today, God. Now God said to me, there's a lesson to be learned. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Not 20 years' time. When you've seen all that you want to see in the world, now is the accepted time. And there I knelt by the side of that settee with my father, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I received him, as John chapter 1 says. I accepted him as being my saviour. And I was done with fooling about with God, and I realised that God was really perhaps giving me the last chance. Now it is, or perhaps it'll be never. And as I knelt by the side of my dad, February the 28th, 1974, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And he accepted me. And God gave me title as being one of the children of God. To as many as received his Son, to them he gives the authority to claim being a child of God. And that's what I am. And that's what I will be for eternity, please. I'm son of Derren and Joy Hollowfield, so I ever and always will be. But now I'm a son of God. And boy, am I pleased. Was I relieved that night to realise God had been kind enough in suffering another lesson to be taught me. And I took that lesson that night and I was saved. And I am saved. And I will be saved for all eternity. 100 years from now, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years from now, I'll still be a son of God. And I'll be in heaven. I'll never be away from him. Do you know, as I knelt by the side of that settee that night, I can recall now looking over my shoulder as my sister left the kitchen and came through the middle room and into the passage and up the stairs. Wanted just to get out of the room. Wanted just to get away from the pressure of the moment. She knew full well what was going on. But she had made a different decision that night. And whereas I decided I needed God's Son as my Saviour, she wanted nothing to do with it. And her feet couldn't get her up the stairs quick enough. And still tonight, please, she'll still get out of the room as quick as her feet will take her, trying to evade coming to the point of decision and deciding for Christ for eternity. Is that you at the end of the meeting? Can't get out quick enough. Is that you whenever the conversation goes to where are you going to be for eternity? Just trying to get away from the issue. Just trying to get out of the spot lamp. Say, don't be such a fool, can I say kindly? Don't be such a fool. You can't evade God. There's no place to hide from God. Face up to it. If it's not heaven, it will be hell. And if it's not God's Son as your Saviour, it will be God's Son as your judge. Say, how is it where you're sat this evening? Are you sat with the full knowledge that everything is wrapped for eternity? My sin is removed, cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or do you sit squirming, uncomfortable, with the thought that if it be now, if it be tonight, then my family will be short a member in eternity? What a terrible position to be in. I've been in that seat, and it is a terrible seat to be in. To be the one not saved, to be one of those in the family not saved, it's a terrible, terrible place to be. You don't have to stay there. You can just hear the charge that God laid upon me. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's in your hands tonight, please. Only you can do anything about it. My parents would have loved to have saved me. John 1, verse number 13 says, it's not by the will of the flesh, and it's not by the will of man that anybody is saved. It's not by those things do people become a son of God. My parents, they would have saved me if they could have saved me. That goes for anybody in this hall this evening who has believing parents. They would save you if at all possible that they could save you. But it's not by the will of the flesh. And it's not by the will of man. And it's not inherited. It's those who are born of God. And only those who become children of God. Say, how is it with you? To as many as receive him, to them he gives authority to claim title as being the children of God. Can I just close with an example, which is actually a true story. There was a man who lost his wife. And he was left in this world with just one son. He loved his son dearly, that's all he had now. But when the son grew into adulthood, he signed up for the army. Grieved the father, wasn't best pleased about that. And his worst fears were realized when one day the son was called off to war. You can imagine the state of fretting which was that man's experience. Well, sure enough, one day news came back from the battlefield that his son had been killed in action. Broke the man's heart. All that he had left in the world, gone. His only son, dead. But then after a little while, news came back that actually his son had lost his life, saving the life of another man. And though it didn't take all the pain away, it gave him a sense of pride in some respects and maybe eased the pain somewhat, that his son had actually died, giving his life that another man's life might be spared. Well, the man whose life was saved on the battlefield when he recovered and came home from war, he wanted in some way to show his gratitude for the man who had saved his life. And what he did, he painted an oil painting of his fellow soldier who had saved him. It wasn't a brilliant work of art, but when he gave it to the bereaved father, he could see the likeness of his son right enough. And the father cherished that, as you can imagine he did. The likeness of his dead son who gave his life in saving another man's. That was pride of place in the home for that bereaved father. Well, in the fullness of time, the old man died. And came the day of the auction when his estate was being sold off. Number one lot on the auction list was the oil painted portrait of his dead son. It wasn't a great work of art, as said, and nobody was particularly interested in it. Didn't have any great value to it at all. And so when the auctioneer began the proceedings, there were no bidders for this oil painting, you know, and the auctioneer was struggling a little bit, really, and he was saying, will nobody give us anything for this portrait to get the auction up and going? And somebody in the front row put his hand in his pocket, and it's an American story, he had a few dollars in his hand. And he said, I'll give these few dollars for that portrait. Am I bid any more? Says the auctioneer. No takers. Very well, he says. Go in once, go in twice, sold to that man for the few dollars. The portrait of the dead man's son. And then the auctioneer closed his book. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, the auction is over. Because the old man in his will had said, the man who receives my son gets it all. Isn't that just a gospel message, please? The man who receives God's son gets it all. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Keep this world and its tawdry allurements. The man who gets God's son to be his saviour, he's got it all. He really has. To as many as received him, God gives authority to call themselves the children of God. Are you a child of God tonight? It's no good claiming to be a child of anybody else. It matters not in the final reckoning. It matters most, it matters essentially, that you are able to say, my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven because I'm a child of God. Shall we pray?